6.5 PRC, 224 Valkyrie, and troubleshooting your reloading this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and we have got some questions from you guys. And our first two questions come from Patreon. For those of you guys that are Patreon subscribers, thank you very much for supporting us due to the recent stuff that's going on YouTube. Patreon has really helped to support our channel and to keep going what we have here. So thank you guys very much for supporting us through Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is or you're interested, we will leave a link down below. So thank you very much. And our first question comes from Michael. And Michael asks, while reloading some 308 rounds today, I was having to chase my seating depth. I expect to have to adjust my seating depth slightly per every new powder charge within the same lot of 5 rounds at a certain powder weight. I was having to move my seating die in and out to chase the exact length to ogive, sometimes 4 to 5 thousandths. What are your recommendations for maintaining a super consistent seat depth without chasing it? Well, Michael, first of all, I'm not sure what bullets you're using. What you really want to pay attention, first of all, is that your bullets are consistent from bullet to bullet. What you can do is you can either measure base to ogive, or you can measure bearing surface with something like a Hornady comparator and give you an idea of how consistent the dimensions of that bullet actually are. Now, if the bullet dimensions are very consistent and you're still getting considerable variances in your seating depth, what you really need to look at is your seating die. You'll want to make sure that your seating die, actually the cone of the seating stem, is deep enough that it is seating on the ogive, or it is seating on the circular portion of the bullet, not on the meplat or on the very tip. Very often bullets will have considerable variances from the base to the tip of the bullet just due to manufacturing variance. So if your seating depth or your seating stem is actually pushing the bullet in on the tip, then slight variances in the overall length of that bullet can have significant variance on your seating depth and can vary where the ogive actually ends up in relation to the base of your cartridge. And I assume that when you are actually measuring your cartridge overall length, when you're measuring your seating depth to compare it cartridge to cartridge, that you're measuring from the ogive to the base of the cartridge, not from the tip of the bullet to the base of the cartridge. One last thing that you really want to pay attention to on these when you are measuring these cartridges is that you have a perfectly consistent cartridge face or cartridge head. Very often when we fire these cartridges, we'll have some spots, and this is especially true if you are doing a load workup. You may have some high spots on that case head where brass has extruded into an ejector hole, or maybe as it extracts, it may raise a burr on the case, or you may have a primer that has not seated fully flush with the case head. And in that case, when you go to measure those, there may be a little bit of variance on the primer or on the high spot on the case head. So those are just some things to keep in mind when you're measuring that seating depth. So check your bullet consistency, and then if everything else is lining up, then take a look at your seating stem. Actually, remove it from the die and stick a bullet in it and see how far into the seating stem that bullet is going, and make sure it's not bottoming out on the tip of the bullet in the seating stem. Quite a few companies offer VLD style seating stems that have a deeper center to them so that they are not actually pushing on the meplat or on the tip of the bullet when you're seating. So hopefully that gives you some ideas to run that down. And our next question, also from Patreon, comes from Joe. And Joe asks, I'm loading 41 grains of Reloader 15 in a 24-inch 308, and I'm getting about 2450 foot per second. That's a bit slow in my book, but it's accurate. Sadly, it's only accurate to about 800. Any hotter than that in this gun, and the groups open way up. Should I try different powders, bullets, or just get a match barrel? Well, again, you don't specify what bullet you're running. I might try some different bullets. For me, what I have found is a universal accuracy load is 43 grains of Reloader 15, pushing a 175 grain Sierra Match King in Federal Brass with Federal Gold Medal Match Primers. That seems to be very accurate in just about any 308 I shoot it in, and it is what I would consider a standard pressure load. It equates to most factory ammunition. It's very similar to 175 grain Federal Gold Medal Match or 175 grain Black Hills Match, and it's a good overall load. I have found generally that if a rifle will not shoot that load accurately, it has some overall accuracy problems. So if I'm actually testing accuracy in a 308, that's my go-to load first. If it won't shoot that, then it's probably going to be a very picky rifle. However, since you are hand loading, then you don't want to really confine yourself to one powder or one bullet. You can experiment and see if you can find a faster load that will work well. I do agree that 2450 is really slow for a 308 if you're pushing 175 grain or 168 grain bullets. So I would definitely try to find a better load for that. Our next question comes from Facebook. It comes from Anthony, and Anthony asks, "With so many variables in reloading for accuracy, what is your first variable you tackle when group sizes aren't what you were expecting?" Well, Anthony, as you suggest, there are a ton of different variables, but the way I attack differences in what I'm seeing on the target, it may be a little bit different than what some other guys are. The equipment that I'm using to reload, I know can produce extremely accurate ammunition. So generally, if I am not getting the accuracy that I want, then I'm probably going to look at different components. However, what I recommend to most reloaders, especially guys that are getting into it and maybe don't have a ton of experience with it, is the first thing to check is your powder charge. Make sure that you are getting powder charges that are accurate down to a tenth of a grain. Ideally, when I'm doing load workups, I want powder charges that are accurate to the kernel. I want to be able to tell if I am one kernel over or one kernel under my powder charge, and that generally requires a very accurate scale. For a while, I was using a GEMPRO 250. I have since killed that scale. I dropped a bottle on the load cell and damaged the scale beyond repair. So I am back to using my RCBS Rangemaster 750 scales, and that scale is good to a tenth. It won't tell me one kernel of powder, though, so I will need to get a more accurate scale before I do my next load workup, just to save myself some time, because I will generally only load one cartridge of each charge when I'm doing a load workup for my style of load workup. But powder charges are really the most critical thing, because that's where you're getting your power to push the bullet down range. That's where you're getting your velocity. And as we go out to more extended ranges, velocity will really cause that vertical spread, and it will cause it quite significantly. So you want to make sure your powder charge is within a tenth. Now, if you're within a tenth, then that velocity spread downrange is going to be minimized. Now, at 100 yards, you have to be careful, because if you have a very consistent rifle and all your components are very consistent, then you can have a large spread of powder charges that will group within an MOA at 100 yards. It's really kind of funny to see, but you're so close in that velocity is not causing a spread at that point. You're looking more at harmonics of the barrel and harmonics of the system at that point. So you can group tightly with a large spread. If you're not seeing the group sizes that you want at 100 yards, seating depth and bullet selection definitely comes in. But for the main thing that I'm concerned with, if I'm not seeing the accuracy of the system that I want, is powder charge. If you are not seeing the accuracy at close range, your seating depth is probably going to have a lot to do with it, and also your bullet selection. Generally, how I pick bullets is I cheat. I go on the internet and do a pretty exhaustive search and find out how a certain bullet is working for a lot of other people before I buy a large quantity of those bullets and do a load workup with them. And occasionally, like the issues I had with the 140 Nussler RDFs, I can pick a bullet that requires a little bit more work, or that I have to go try it in a couple of different systems to see if it's working. But that is usually the exception, not the rule. The rule is I'll generally pick a bullet that I don't have to mess with a whole lot. That's also why I stay away from the VLDs, and I will usually stay with a more jump-friendly bullet, so I'm not chasing the lands, I'm not doing all that nonsense. That's generally what I look at. Make sure that your powder charge is dead on. I don't play with seating depth a whole lot because I like bullets that are jump tolerant, so I can just load them to mag length and roll. So really, my load workup is selecting the correct powder charge for the bullet I'm using and get into the velocity node that I want. Our next question comes from Bryson. Bryson asks, how do you feel about the new 6.5 PRC when compared to hot 6mm? The 6.5 with 147s bucks the wind better. Worth the recoil penalty? Well, the 6.5 PRC is a big question mark in my book right now. It looks like it is going to push the 6.5 class bullets a little bit faster than you'll get with the 6.5 Creedmoor when you're running hot. It, I'm sure, is going to come at the cost of barrel life, but you're also having to deal with a short mag system now. You're going to have to deal with the magazine issues that come with a short mag system. So I don't really know if it's going to be worthwhile for me. I probably am not going to jump on board and go chasing it. I think the PRS game is still going to be on the fast 6mm even after the 6.5 PRC becomes a little bit more widespread. Hornady is producing factory ammunition for it. So it's just really a big question in my mind. Looking at the ballistics, just doing a quick overview on it, it looks like it's got some good ballistics. If it's running 147s at around 3,000 foot per second, that gives you something to work with in a ballistic calculator and compare it to what you are running right now. I tend to not run the ragged edge on pressure because I want a little bit more barrel life and I want utter reliability. I don't want to be popping primers and causing all kinds of issues on the gun when I'm on the firing line on a hot range day. So I will probably stick with the 6.5 Creedmoor and the 243 Winchester for my primary match cartridges. I really like the 243 Winchester because it's been around for a very long time. I know it's not the elite 6mm anymore. It's not the new hotness. It is an old cartridge, but it still performs very, very well when you're shooting the right bullets and you're getting the velocity up there with it. So the 6.5 PRC is probably not something I'm going to invest in, but I'll definitely keep an eye on it and see where it goes. Once it starts getting out into the real world, I want to see what velocities shooters are able to work up to and get reliably running those 147 class bullets. It doesn't really do me a whole lot of good just to see what the factory ammunition is running, because factory ammunition very often is governed by lawyers, and hand loaders can play with different powders and they can get that velocity a little bit better. But sometimes, again, that comes at the cost of reliability. So we're just going to have to sit back and watch and see where it goes. But it is interesting. I like to see cartridge manufacturers kind of trying to push the limits, although a lot of times I think it has more to do with the marketing hype and just trying to have a new product to sell versus having something that is actually demonstrably better than what is currently out there. But that's really what I think. I want to know what you guys think about the new 6.5 PRC. Is it something you're interested in? How do you think it compares to the current short mags and the current short action cartridges that are being used in PRS competition? You think this really has some merit? Is it something that you would be interested in switching over? Go ahead and drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear from you on it. Our next question comes from Alex, and Alex asks, love the show. If you were only allowed to have just one rifle for everything, what would it be and what caliber and barrel length? In this hypothetical, you're still allowed your work weapons, but they stay at work. Alex, believe it or not, these are actually some of the hardest questions that we get on the show because I shoot a very wide variety of rifles. I have everything from 223 all the way up to 300 Win Mag. And I look at rifles kind of like I look at golf clubs. You wouldn't go out and try to play a round of golf with just one club. Now, I'm not a big golfer, but that's the best non-shooting equivalent that I can compare this to. I shoot a lot of different types of matches, a lot of different types of sports. I shoot everything from close-range defensive shooting with a compact, lightweight AR all the way up to long-range shooting. So different rifles really have better strengths and different weaknesses. For instance, if I'm going to go shoot a Guardian match or a DM match down at Woody's, those generally favor gas guns. It's more of a run-and-gun type scenario where you're moving into positions, you're firing fast. Some stages have unlimited round counts and you can fire makeup shots. And in those stages, gas guns really reign supreme. So something like the 6.5 Creedmoor Mach 10 works better in those scenarios. Now, when you switch over to other things, like if I were to go out to Thunder Valley in Ohio and shoot the Headhunter, that favors Magnum cartridges a little bit more. You are shooting at long range, you are shooting on smaller targets, and you are generally only shooting a couple of rounds at each target, so you don't have to worry about mag capacity, you don't worry about having to change magazines or run from different positions or thread your rifle in and out of barricades. So you can run a longer barrel length. I could run a long suppressed rifle with a limited magazine capacity there. So it's really difficult for me to narrow this down and go, if I was limited to one gun, if I was going to do it all over again and just start out with one rifle, what would it be? And I have to come down to something like it would probably be a bolt action Accuracy International chambered in 6.5 Creedmoor. I would probably top it with a 5 to 20 power scope or a 5 to 25 power scope, something like a Night Force Attacker F1. And I think that rifle would take care of most scenarios for me. If I chose something like the Accuracy International AT, then I've got a rifle that gives me a double stack 10-round magazine. It gives me very reliable feeding, very quick reloading of the magazines. I've got a really nice two-stage trigger on it. I know you limited me to one barrel, but really, honestly, I could have other barrels later on. And the 6.5 Creedmoor, I think, is a really good cartridge for intermediate to long-range engagements. You have almost 300 Win Mag ballistics with it at longer range, although you don't have the same kind of energy that you did if you're throwing a large, heavy, high BC 30 caliber bullet through that Magnum cartridge. So that would probably be my one. It would be an Accuracy International AT and 6.5 Creedmoor. And if a guy was starting out with a higher budget and wanted to get into the game, that's a really good option to get into the precision rifle game and be able to shoot a wide variety of things. Of course, the only problem there is you would be limited to not being able to shoot a gas gun type match. Whereas if we switch things up a little bit and we decided to go with a 6.5 Creedmoor gas gun, then you can shoot that in just about everything. Most of the matches that I would shoot a 6.5 Creedmoor AT in, the gas gun would also be able to shoot in. So it'd be kind of a toss-up for me. Thankfully, I don't have to make that decision. I can have quite a few different rifles for different scenarios and be able to switch between as I see fit. So that's just my answer. Again, what would you guys pick? If you had to have one gun to do it all, what would your selection be? Would you go bolt gun? Would you go semi-auto? And what cartridge would you choose? I really want to hear, because these kind of hypotheticals really start to make you think, with all the tools available and all the options out there, what do you really need? What would you really choose to be able to do the most with if you were limited in budget and you were limited to the number of rifles? I'm thankful that here in the U.S., we don't have to license each and every gun that we own. I can have quite a few different rifles, and I don't have the government telling me how many rifles I can own. I realize that some of our viewers in other areas around the world really do not have that benefit, and they're really limited to what they have. So especially those of you guys that are in the UK or maybe that are in South Africa, some of these places, let me know. I'd really like to know what you settled on and why, if you're limited to what you can own by the laws in your area. So I hope that gives you a little bit insight on that question. Our next question comes from Dustin, and Dustin asks, what's your opinion on the new 224 Valkyrie versus the 6.5 Grendel? And if you could only have one style bolt gun, would it be traditional stocks or chassis systems? Well, Dustin, I did a little bit of looking into the 224 Valkyrie, and it looks like it may exceed the Grendel in some of the areas in ballistics, especially in your longer range ballistics, if you're shooting bullets like the 90 grain Match King. Now, I haven't had a chance to sit down and plug in some of the higher BC Burger bullets or some of the other 223 bullets that are available out there. And I really would like to see running hot with a higher BC bullet, what the ballistics look like. Because, of course, the Grendel at this point, there are a ton of bullets available for it. There are a ton of different powders that you can use in them. And I really haven't done a lot of work with load workups on the Grendel that I have sitting here in front of me. But it's really, again, much like what we answered with the 6.5 PRC, it's going to be interesting to see once brass gets out there and guys are hand loading for the 224 Valkyrie. It'll be interesting to see how hard they can push it and what kind of performance hand loaders can get out of that system. I want to see with the cartridge and with the AR magazine capacity, what kind of cartridge overall length we can get and how far they can push the bullet size and the high BC bullets on those on that new cartridge. So again, it's going to be a sit back and see. Now, as soon as I'm able to actually get a 224 Valkyrie barrel, I will probably start playing with it just because it's really interesting to me. And for the AR system, it's pretty easy just to slap together another upper and roll with it and see how well it works. You'll have to replace the bolt and the barrel to go to 224 Valkyrie versus a regular 5.56 AR. But again, that shouldn't be an issue once the components are actually out there, once the parts are available, and we can start putting them together. But it's very interesting to me, much more interesting than like the 22 Nosler was. I think the 224 Valkyrie has a little bit more of an interest to precision rifle shooters. And for the majority of our club matches here where we're only going out to 500 yards, I think something like the 224 Valkyrie has a really interesting possibility, especially with that 90 grain bullet. You're going to hit steel at 500 yards with a little bit more energy, so it should be a little bit easier to spot. But I really want to see when you start to stretch it out and you get out to that 800, 900 yard area, how difficult is it going to be to spot with regular steel targets, not any target indicators. I really like the idea of the MagnetoSpeed T1000 target indicator, but I realize that every match you go to are not going to have electronic or optical target indicators out there. A lot of times you're still going to have to deal with a RO on a spotting scope to see your impacts. So we'll see as we go forward where the 224 Valkyrie fits, but I'm definitely going to play with it as soon as I can get some parts in and build up a 224 rifle. I don't really care to go buy any of the current 224 Valkyrie options until we really actually see that cartridge is going to stick around and it's not just going to be a flash in the pan. And our next question comes from Will, and Will asks, if you did a load development for a rifle, then the operating temperature is 30 degrees different, would you need to develop a different recipe then? Well, Will, That is really going to depend upon the powder you use and how hot you're running and which end of that 30 degree swing you develop the load on. For instance, if you are using a temperature sensitive powder, you develop a hot load in the fall or in the winter, then when you get to the summer and you have a 30 degree change, you're more than likely going to run into pressure issues. The reverse of that is that if you work up your load in the summer and you're not really running to the ragged edge, and then you go into the winter, then you may not see issues. If you're going to need to go develop a whole new powder charge for that cartridge or a whole new load workup, is going to depend upon how wide your accuracy node is and where you're at in the accuracy node. I try to pick rather fat accuracy nodes, even if I sacrifice a little bit of speed. And I said a little bit of speed, not a lot of speed. So I'll back down a little bit if I can get right in the middle of a node and then not have to deal with that powder charge again for the life of that barrel. That's kind of the way I like to reload, and it does sacrifice a little bit of performance versus the guys that are running on the ragged edge and the ones that have a summer load and a winter load and are constantly chasing the lands as that barrel burns out. So it's just different formats, different styles of reloading. That's the way I like to do it. But if you are running the ragged edge of pressure, I absolutely recommend that you work up a different load when the temperature changes. You have a winter load and a summer load. I don't really recommend running the ragged edge of pressure at all, because you end up throwing away matches and throwing away stages because of reliability issues, especially in a gas gun. Bolt guns, though, still can have reliability issues. You start popping primers and driving pieces back into that bolt, or you start burning up firing pins, or you start seizing cartridges up or having head separations in the chamber. Now you have all kinds of issues that can really toss a stage out for you. So be careful of that stuff if you decide to run the ragged edge, even if you decide to have a summer load and a winter load. So again, the answer as to a lot of our questions are, it depends, but I hope it gave you a little bit to look at. And that's it for this episode of Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything that we've covered, please leave them in the comments section below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you're listening to this episode on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot!